One sat alone beside the highway, begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee.
It's time to open the Word once again with Evangelist Lester Roloff on the Family Altar Program.
Glory, for all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
Let's sing 112, and that's an invitation song. Hear the blessed Savior calling the oppressed. Sing,
hear the blessed Savior calling the oppressed. Oh, you heavy laden,
come on to me and rest.
Come no longer tarry, I your load will bear. Bring me every burden
and bring me every
care.
And
come unto me.
I will give you rest. Yes, I'll give you rest.
Take my yoke upon me. Disappointed, just wandering here and there, dragging the old chains of doubt, all loaded down with care, doing holy feelings struggle right in your breast. You better bring your case to Jesus. He will give you a rest. Come. That third one too in this year and day of unbelief and folks making fun of hell. Sing the third one now.
Stumbling on the mount, dark with sin and shame, stumbling toward the pit, hell's consuming flame,
by the power of that, don't you? I'll tell you what, I believe people ought to sing on Saturday night, every night. Bible said, let everything have breath. Praise the Lord. Never we'll forget the old man took his preacher's son. He wasn't a preacher then, but he said, I wonder if Brother Olaf will sing back on my tent days. And said, I wonder if Brother Olaf will sing tonight. He said, I hope not. Preacher said, daddy said, I hope not. I can't stand his singing. Well, he said, Pete said, I like your singing, Dad. I finally got near to the tent that night, driven I don't know how far across East Texas. He said, Dad, you reckon really he'll sing tonight? Said, if he's breathing, he'll be singing. Well, that's right. All right. everything I have good tonight and everything I have real tonight, I got it by faith. Everything. I've been to school 19 years of my life. I have to announce that sometimes in order to let the people know I've been to school. Because they say you sound so countrified. Brother, God's truths are simple. Second, God's truths are revealed. If God didn't reveal it, I couldn't learn it anyhow. I couldn't understand Ned in the first reader. If there's truth in it, truth is a revelation. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Oh, they said, John the Baptist, one of the brothers. Whom say ye? Simon Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. You didn't get that at Baylor University. Flesh and blood did not reveal. You know why? Flesh and blood can't reveal. There's not one thing in me that'll reveal anything. I may speak until I'm dead with old age. I may give out a lot of different words and use up my little vocabulary, but unless the Holy Spirit reveals it, you'll walk out in darkness like you came in. The Revelation. The book of Revelation. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Tonight, I want to speak on the little word M-E-M-O-R-Y. A curse or a blessing? As you grow older, you're going to be walking down memory's lane. People are going to remind you, you remember me. I knew you 55 years ago. The memory that you're going to have is going to either be a blessing or it's going to be a curse. When I was coming up, the word senile hadn't been invented. People got old without getting senile. We might have said they're a little forgetful. Now they call them senile. We talk about hardening of the arteries. I'd rather have hardening of the arteries than hardening of the heart. That's what's killing America. We got a tough bunch of people in this country. Mechanical, superficial, synthetic, plastic, just veneer, stuff on the outside, down inside. You'd say, are you predicting? No, I'm just simply saying, I believe that the next 8 years in American life is going to test the spiritual fiber of every saint of God. The financiers, Wall Street, and all the rest of them, stock markets, all predicting the crater, the crumbling, the failing. That ought not to bother a Christian. I got a friend that went for 42 months and never saw one blade of grass growing. He never walked in a garden while the bones of cows and people bleached in the sun. He had catering service twice a day. That's right. You say, you don't think you're Elijah. No, don't have to be Elijah. I don't want to be Elijah. I wouldn't be insulted if somebody accused me of being Elijah. That'd be a compliment or one of the Old Testament prophets. But I tell you one thing. I'm tied on to the same one that delivered his 2 meals a day. Of course, some of you'd be awful upset if you didn't bring 3. Oh, I hear people say, well, I got to have my 3 squares. That's in your square, too. Children of Israel walked every day, got 2 meals a day. Manna from heaven fell. They were not sick. You know when they got sick? When they complained about their menu. Our Heavenly Father does. Oh, brother, you run them out. You know, everybody born with wantitis, they usually die with it. Wantitis will kill you quick. I want this. I want, during the Christmas time, what do you want? What do you want? What'd you get? Not what you give. Brother, what about your memory? Is it going to be blessed or wretched? Quartet, they sang that lovely song, What Sins Are You Talking About? You know what's killing people? There's only 3 things that could hurt you. The past, the present, and the future. I've got a Savior that'll take care of all three of them in one way. Who delivered us from so great a death, who doth deliver, in whom we trust he will yet deliver. That's present, past, and future. That's what's killing people. You know what hurts your present, past, and worried about the future? Give us this year our yearly bread. Nope. Give us this day our daily bread. Turn to Genesis chapter 8. I want to speak tonight on the subject God remembered. I wonder if there's anybody in the building that can say honestly, I never did forget anything. Brother, climb up to 67 and say that, and I'll make you president of the Liars Club. Oh, brother. You know, there are two things that I've always had a fear of in my ministry. One of them is forgetting about a funeral or a marriage. Those two things have sort of haunted me. And when people say, Brother Wolf, I don't mean to bother you, but I want to remind you, Miss Hyde, I want to remind you. I said, oh, thank you. Keep me reminded. Don't hesitate. Brother, all of us need each other's help. Well, I wouldn't overlook anything important, but I may forget it. And how unkind people could be. But I want to give you a number of things and just exactly what the Lord's trying to say to me. I'm going to trust him to tell me while I'm preaching. But I went over these verses today in the book of Genesis. We're going to begin reading in chapter 8. Now, you know the story of an old man that must have been the outstanding psycho case of his day. That may have been before psychiatry was invented, but I'll get our psycho ward. But his name was Noah. Now, the one thing that made him different from everybody else, he really believed God. God came and said, Noah, the end is here. He said, yes, sir. I believe it. He said, judgment is sure because sin is real and there's going to be one safe place to hide. Now, brother, that's the gospel right there. Sin real, judgment sure, you've got to find a hiding place. And God told him to build an ark. And so he set his hand. And I tell you what, if we could really see Noah's day and grasp it, we'd see our day again. Violence covered the face of the earth. Imaginations of the heart of man, evil always. Continually. The Bible said when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, they chose them wives, wives. And then the Bible said they hatched out men of renown. We're living in that day. Boy, we got renowned men living. You talk about scientific giants. You talk about educated. You talk about great preachers and so forth across and around the world, and great machines like the 747, the spaceships and all that. I mean, we got men of renown now. Brother, but they haven't brought us to the Lord. They haven't saved the home. They haven't done anything with the children. And God, notice, in chapter 8, and it'll be verse 1, and God remembered Noah. God did not forget. Number one, I want to present the only person that never forgot anything, except the thing that worries me the most. That's right. God built him a sea one time. Big sea. Had to be a big one. I know he dug out the basin for the Atlantic and Pacific and the Great Lakes, and I know that he raised up the majestic mountains and Pikes Peak and all the rest of it, but according to my Bible, he dug him a sea. It's some sea. You know what the name of it is? The sea of his forgetfulness. You know what he puts in there? All our sins that are put under the blood of Jesus. That's the reason the singer's saying, what sins are you talking about? Oh, it's easy for an old sinner to run up to the Lord and say, Lord, I tell you, I've done terrible. He said, what? Why, you've heard me talk about my mother. Boy, she had a sweet forgetter. When the Lord called me to preach, I was the meanest boy in the family. That's right. I'm not bragging about that. My mother cried more. My daddy wept. I mean, my daddy was concerned and burdened about me. And my old tongue got crooked and nasty and my old heart dirty. And I didn't want to live, just like a lot of you knucklehead. I thought, oh, man, I wish I could get away from here. Boy, my dad give me a good razor strap or board meeting or mulberry limb meeting, and I'd said, I need to leave home. What am I doing around here? I've gone around behind the house, and I've pounded and pitched a pity party, and I've said, man, listen, nobody else in the community gets whipped like I mean. We have to work hard. The roll-off boys have to work hard, and everybody else, they out there playing ball. I'm chopping weeds down in the and Johnson grass and bull nettles and everything. Here I am! And so, man, I'll run. Huh? Can you imagine little old ignorant, scared, nervous? Why, listen, I was scared soon as sundown came. Boy, just soon as the sun went down, man, I was inside looking out or close to my, I was scared half, nervous. I was a nervous wreck. My daddy would, and one of my jobs was to bring in the kindling or the cobs to build a fire with. Boy, just about 8:30, because that's bedtime, maybe 8, in the wintertime, my daddy'd stretch his old neck like a wild turkey and look around there. Lester? Yes, sir? He said, where's the kindling? I said, I forgot it. Go get it. I said, Melvin, come go with me. Melvin said, oh, go back. I said, Edel, come go with me. Edel said, oh, nothing gonna get you. Get on that. I said, no. Mama, oh, have compassion. Now, Melvin, you know Lester's scared of the dark. Huh? And boy, I was. Now, see, the dark never did hurt me, but it nearly made me hurt myself a bunch. Oh, listen, I'm telling you, I wanted to go visit my neighbor so bad, but if Edel and Melvin didn't go, I had a nightmare thinking about coming home in the dark. But this is the truth. I'd sit there and reckon they'd finally say, my neighbors say, oh, they'd all about to go to sleep. I was sitting there scared to death. Really, it's the truth. And they said, Lester, you're going to have to go home, son. I said, oh, me. Really, I dreaded, and I hit that old black mud. And listen, dark, you ain't never seen dark like Navarre County can be dark. Black ground, I mean, no stars shining, clouds everywhere, and mud deep. And there I was, little old bitty boy, weighed about 90 pounds. I took off down that road. You know what I did? I pulled out a little knife, and I cut behind me, just like this. That's right. All the way home, boy. I heard mad dogs coming. I heard everything coming. But I tell you what, they'd really got cut by that little knife, see? But, you know, my mother, she'd always step in and take up for me. She always would. When God called me to preach, got me straight with Him, she forgot every bad thing I ever did. She thought I was the nearest to perfect of any boy she could have ever had. Oh, listen, 12 long years, she lay on her bed of affliction and listened to me preach. I took her recorder way many years ago and all of my tapes, and she'd lay there paralyzed on one side and said, turn Lester on and let him preach to me. Oh, the hours that she spent. Neighbors would come in, and she'd say, and oh, they respected. She was the midwife for 5 miles and almost didn't find her. I mean, any time a baby was ever born, my mama had to go. I mean, my daddy'd get on that old gray mule, midnight, daylight. I mean, any other time, rainy, they said, Sadie, come on. Myrtle's fixing to have another one. Already had 6. And ain't nobody ever got born. I dread to hear that old phone ring, 4 rings on 187, because I knew Mama wouldn't fix breakfast and Dad couldn't boil water without scorching it. Brother, we had a famine when Mama left. There's just no way for us to be normal when Mama's gone. And she'd always go, and she'd stay until the baby was fine and mother was fine, and she'd come home. Oh, what a reunion we had. I could stand my daddy, because he never did be gone. The fact is, I had a little more liberty if he'd leave. He left maybe 3 times, 4 times in my life. Boy, I enjoyed that. I mean, we just seemed like a little freer around there, you know, to run the old farm. But my mother, she had a memory that forgot the sins of her boys as we grew older. She didn't say, hey, Lester, you may be a preacher now, but you sure were mean back there. Uh-uh. Never did. Listen, she'd sit out there in the audience and her face would glow. Yes, I'd stand there. I might stumble. Words might come out sideways or backwards, and I'd go home. She said, Lester, that sure was a good sermon today. I mean, she was blind to every fault I'd ever had. I'm glad God knows how to forget. I'm glad that when I confess, he said, there's another load for the sea. Pew! I like to hear it splash, don't you? What sins are you talking about, he said. Don't you know I've forgotten all about those? Oh, come on. Some of you little old outfits, you know, say, well, I'm having a little difficulty forgiving. You're having a little difficulty living, too. Brother, if you're living, you'll be forgiven. And you'll be given if you're living. And God remembered Noah and every living thing. Now, you know what he's talking about? Just the ones that are inside. Everything on the outside, ready for the deluge. Everything got baptized and didn't come up because of their sins. The modernists, the religious man, the people with the homemade boats. There was only one boat that floated. You say, what's that? The ship I'm on, the Lordship. That's what the battle's all about. Who's going to be Lord? We have one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. And God remembered Noah. Now, the first thing I want to say concerning this first friend of ours, and his name was Noah, he could have been a lonely man. But, let me say quickly, I believe he was the happiest man in the world. You know why? He was ready for the judgment. And the judgment was coming, and God told him. And Noah didn't. And you ever thought, today for the first time in my 50 years of preaching, I got to thinking, they worked on the ark 120 years. And don't you know that the logical, religious, smart alecks came by and said, Mr. Noah, have you ever known of a flood? He said, no, sir. Mr. Noah, they could have said, you're not even zoned for ark building here. They could have said, have you ever heard a clap of thunder? No, sir. Have you ever seen a streak of light? No, sir. How are you going to get this ark 150 miles from here to the closest water to take the floating? Noah said, God's going to bring the water up here. You talk about being ostracized and isolated, and talk about being a member of the minority. He was it. But I thought of another thing. You suppose Mrs. Noah ever came in and said, honey, how'd you get along on the ark today? She said, oh, we're making some progress. We got some more logs set. And said, honey, have you ever thought about Shem, Ham, and Japheth? That's all they're doing. I mean, they don't have much career. They won't be able to go off to school. I mean, all they're doing is hauling logs and chopping. Said, do you think really, I mean, are you sure? I mean, don't you imagine she could ask that? Don't you imagine the devil could have got in her and said, is this all we're going to do all of our life? I mean, we don't get to go anywhere. We don't, and nobody wants us to be around them. And the Chamber of Commerce, you're not going to recognize us. And man, they think we're all crazy up here. Noah said, honey, the time will come when you'll be mighty glad to get in the ark. You see, I believe God. I mean, God means what he said. And you know there's sin everywhere, don't you? And you know judgment's coming. And you're going to be very fortunate to have a place to get in out of the flood. Do you think maybe the boys came in and said, Dad, we don't ever get to go see the Dallas Cowboys? I'd like to go out for athletics, Dan. He said, okay, go get another log. Oh, Dad, we just don't get to play them other boys. He said, boys, we'll get to play on the inside of the ark when the flood. We'll be in there over a year. He said, okay, Dad, whatever you say goes. We're going to, you know, isn't it interesting? Didn't one of the boys run off? And isn't it interesting that not one of the four homes busted up? When the flood took place, all the couples were right ready. You know, another thing I thought, and that is, there wasn't any grandchildren in the ark. They're just all children. You reckon God has any grandchildren or just all children? I know he don't have no stepchildren. They're just all real children. But there they are. All of them in the ark. Thunder. You say, what happened? God said, Noah, come thou into the ark. And Noah and his family went in. You know how long he's in there? 7 days before one drop of rain. You think maybe Shem, Ham, and Japheth said, oh, Dad, open up the door and let us play a while. We're through building. It ain't coming no rain. Uh-uh. God closed the door. That's the reason I'm saved. I'm glad. Not only did he close the door, he is the door. Jesus is the door. Ain't no, the devil couldn't get that door open. And I'm going out at the top. Oh, listen. God remembered Noah. Now, here's my conclusion. We pass on to the next man. If God remembered Noah, do you suppose he's going to forget me and you? No, sir. All right, let's go visit another man. Chapter 19, Genesis chapter 19, and verse 28 and 29. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham. Well, that's the second man to remember. Why did he remember Abraham? The Bible said he believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. You know, the only righteousness you and I have is what we get from believing God. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6, and Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Abraham had gotten his 216 soldiers or hillbillies together, gone down to do what? To rescue Lot. You think Lot came out? Uh-uh. But, you remember, when Abraham went back up to his lovely place, whatever it might have been in the country, away from the city, remember Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom, and Lot dwelt in Sodom, and it was the Sodomites that sunk him. He didn't stand, I think, like a man ought to stand. He lost his family down in Sodom. And really, I get to think about these cities. Aren't we living in Sodom's day again? Can you imagine the wickedness of Corpus Christi tonight? Houston, Orlando, Miami, Dallas, Chicago, New York. Can you imagine the wickedness? But the Lord remembered Abraham because Abraham believed God. Abraham paid a price similar to that of Noah. He left Ur of the Chaldees, which all of his holdings. He was a rich man, very rich. God said, Abraham, arise, get thee out of Ur of the Chaldees. Go to a country that I will show thee afterward. That's faith. Oh, I know the world calls it foolishness. I hear people say, you don't think I'm going to just move on blind faith? Faith's got good eyes. Faith sees a lot more than down here, though. Moses saw him who was invisible, and he endured. Abraham counted him faithful who had promised and staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. God remembered Abraham. You said, but Abraham was perfect. No, he wasn't. I read again today where Abraham somehow wobbled on the axle. And Sarah evidently joined the ERA and said to Abraham, we better help him out. We better help him out. Here I am, past the stage in the age of childbearing, and no child. I'm going to go get Hagar. And you know, Ishmael was born. And God brought his promised train in on time. And Sarah laughed, and the angel said, what are you laughing at? I didn't laugh. Oh, yes, you did. Brother, don't ever laugh at the promises of God. Believe them. That goes for this religious filth, too, that they got in these churches. Of course, it's beginning to taper off now. You know, a good many years ago, boy, they had all these bands. You'd go in, I mean, of course, I wouldn't go to a place like that, never. And I'd walk our girls out. If we got in, just walk them out. Get out of here right now. But they said, we've got to, boy, the thing it astounds me that the Catholics, with all of their majestic so-called reverence, you know, and devoutness, and yet all that junk climbed up with them too. Episcopalians, can you imagine them? Presbyterians, Methodists, Baptists, they said, well, we've got to let our young people express themselves, not if they do it in the wrong way. But I tell you what, that's lost out now. They lost their young people. See, brother, there's one thing the church can't do. She can't entertain like the world. You don't have to entertain Christians, just feed them. They'll enjoy old-fashioned, sweet, and wonderful preaching. And the Lord remembered Abraham. Two more, and I know my time's running out. The Lord remembered, that's Genesis 30, verse 22. The Lord remembered Rachel. Reckon why? She couldn't have any children. Did you know that Rachel really was the chosen wife of Jacob? But did you know that when Jacob got deceived at the altar, and when Rachel unveiled, it wasn't Rachel, it's Leah. And I think Jacob came up, old Laban, he was the skin flint. He was the American capitalist. Jacob said, Mr. Laban, I've been deceived. I worked 7 years for Rachel. Where is she? Well, I said, son, you'll have to take the oldest one first. You know what's happening? The chickens are coming home to roost. Jacob, did you ever deceive anybody? Yeah, come think of it. I cheated my brother Esau. I said, I'm gone. Out of the blessing, out of the birthright, chickens are coming home to roost. But the Lord remembered Rachel. You know how many children Leah had before Rachel ever got started? 6 boys and 1 little girl by the name of Dinah. Don't you know Leah tormented Rachel? And then finally, Rachel brought in her maid and said, okay. You know where she got that? Abraham and Sarah. It's catching. You mothers and dads compromise or play favorites and you'll wind up in the same trouble. And so then Leah, they begin to swap mandrakes and Leah. But she wound up with 7 before Rachel ever had one. And then Joseph came. The Lord remembered Rachel. She prayed. Oh, listen. You know what she said? Give me children or I die. I don't want to live. Listen, when you and I pray the prayer of destitution, we ought to be there now. One more. I like this. This is a challenge. This is for the young people. And the Lord and Joseph remembered his dream. God remembered Hannah. You remember when she prayed. And God remembered Joseph. You think of Joseph, a little old boy. Supposed to be killed. They threw him in a pit. Hey, don't you mind the peep down there and said, hey, Joe. Yeah, please get me out. What about your dream, Joe? He said, I don't know, but I believe the Lord gave him to me. It wasn't very long till one of the brothers came out there and got him out. And they chained him. Remember the old Ishmaelite slave traders? Boy, they got him. He sold him, said, give me the money. They sold him. Boy, they put that money in the pocket. And to me, one of the most pitiful pictures I've ever seen in my life was when Joseph was put in the chains as a little slave. Maybe a strong boy and a good boy. And there he goes, them old chains rattling. Them old chains, just like some of you girls. You boys, y'all were chained. You belong to the Ishmaelite slave trader. You were little slaves. Slaves to dope, slaves to filth. And there you go. But, you know, don't you imagine the brothers looked at him and said, okay, dreamer boy, what about your dream? He said, I don't know. But he said, y'all ought. Oh, brother. Got down there and got him a job working for Potiphar. Boy, one of the outstanding businessmen down in Egypt. And little old Joe was so faithful. Why, listen, he called him in one day and said, son, sit down there. This old businessman, he walked around, he said, you know, you're one of the finest workers I've ever had. I can trust you. You're just the finest boy I ever saw. He said, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. I'll do the best I can. He said, I'm leaving town. I turn everything over to you. I mean, everything. There it is. I mean, boy, you look at it while I'm gone. And you know what happened, don't you? Hmm? Old sister Potiphar. Oh, she, boy, can you see the lipstick, huh? And the rouge on her hairdo? Oh, can you see her? And she said, oh, Joe. Said, good morning. She said, oh, Joe, you know, you're a handsome little old Jew. Mm-hmm. He gone, huh? That's the wisest move he ever made. Back in there the next day, hello, Joe. How you feeling, Joe? You know, my husband's gone, don't you, Joe? Yeah. Uh-huh. He sure is. And finally, she propositioned, oh, no. Joe refused. He said, nope. He's put me in charge of everything he's got except you, and I will not touch you. Oh, was her pride wounded deep. I've been rejected. And he said, I'm getting out of here. She grabbed his coat, but she never got his character.
Thank you for joining us today on the Family Altar Program with Lester Roloff. You may listen to the preaching and the special music of the Family Altar Program 24 hours a day when you visit our ministry website, roloff.org. We love hearing from our listeners. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, please write to us at Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. Again, that's Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, P.O. Box 100, Fort Thomas, Arizona, 85536. This broadcast is made possible by the prayers and financial support of listeners like you. Thank you for partnering with us, and remember that Christ is the answer.